John 14, introduction to John 14 to 17. We will begin studying John chapter 14 today. First, I would like to give an overview of chapters 14 to 17 to help bring the context of each passage into focus. Some scholars think that this final discourse of Jesus begins in John chapter 13, verse 31, not in John 14, verse 1, and it continues through John chapter 17. Jesus said in John chapter 13, 31 and 32, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him." Understanding Jesus' emphasis on glorification is very important to interpreting these chapters. Jesus viewed the cross, death, and resurrection and ascension all to be part of his glorification, through which he would be able to live in his disciples. Remember Jesus' words in John 7 when he invited whoever is thirsty to come to him and drink. He said that rivers of living water would flow from their innermost being. Jesus added in John 7:39, "Up to that time the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified." So in order for the Spirit to be given, Jesus had to be glorified. John 14 is one of the most loved chapters in the Bible. However, there are some difficulties in interpreting what Jesus meant in verse 2 when he spoke of his Father's house and of many homes or rooms in it. Traditionally, people thought that Jesus was talking about his Father's house in heaven. Jesus did say that he was going to the Father in John 14:12, and that he wanted his disciples to be with him, probably referring to heaven. Heaven is a real place, and we will be with Jesus there in the future. However, the focus of Jesus in this passage was on bringing his disciples into a living relationship with the Father through himself and through the Holy Spirit. I pointed out Jesus' repeated emphasis on the Father in almost every chapter of John. Jesus came to reveal the Father to people and to bring them into a love relationship with him. Jesus also said that he would ask the Father to give another comforter, the Holy Spirit, who would lead them into all truth. Jesus said the Holy Spirit was with them, but not yet in them. His glorification on the cross and through the resurrection opened the door for God to live in us. Jesus made it possible for us to come to God. The Holy Spirit makes it possible for God to come to us. Jesus' words in John 14 do give us the promise and hope of an eternal home. However, as we study this chapter, let us strive to grasp what Jesus is trying to say about living in love relationship with his Father now. Let us begin by preparing our hearts to hear the word of the Lord today as we look at this first section of John, verses 1 to 7, entitled, "The Father's House." Hear the word of the Lord today. John 14, 1 to 7. The title is "The Father's House." Welcome back to Friends Bible Study. Our goal is to help ordinary believers grow as disciples of Jesus, to make disciples of Jesus, and to equip them for every good work through the Word of God. A disciple is someone who knows Jesus, follows Jesus, learns from Jesus, and is becoming like Jesus. Please continue to read, write, share, and listen. This is our simple approach to this systematic study of the Bible. I try to emphasize important principles of studying the Bible in these introductory comments. I have shared previously about choosing or selecting key verses. I chose 13 key verses from John 14, which is a lot, but I won't mention them all here. I underline these verses in my Bible and write the verse number in the margin. These verses are like signs on a freeway, identifying where you are and where you're going. When you read this chapter again and see the key verses that you've chosen, the flow of the chapter will immediately come back to you. It will be apparent. I will share two of the key verses I chose from John 14, which are both well-known verses worth memorizing. The first is John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And the second key verse, John 14:21, "Whoever has my commands and keeps them, is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. I memorized these verses in high school and have shared them with literally thousands of people. These two verses have had a huge impact on my life. Again today, I encourage you all to prepare your hearts to hear the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Let's pray. Lord, we open our hearts to you today. We are hungry to hear your words and to know your heart. Speak to us today, and may the glory of Christ be revealed through the sharing of his word. John 14:1-7, the Father's house. Verse 1, don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Meditation question. Why were the disciples' hearts troubled? How does believing in God, our Father, and in Jesus help us when our hearts are troubled? Jesus had told his disciples many things that probably troubled them. He told them he was going away, that he would suffer and die, that one of them would betray him, and that Peter would deny him three times. Our hearts become troubled by much smaller things. Sometimes we get out of sorts because of a problem, conflict with others, financial issues, or our own weaknesses and failures. Of course, many people in the world are facing real hardship, loss of life, disaster, war, sickness, etc. It is understandable that people get down and discouraged about things happening in their lives. However, Jesus' words speak to every situation we face, whether big or small. He encourages us to believe in God and believe also in me. Faith is trusting, even though we do not understand and cannot explain it. Proverbs 3:5-6 is one of the most practical descriptions of what it means to believe and trust in the Lord. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. Faith means to rely on the Lord and trust in him with all of our heart, even though we don't understand. We want to analyze it, explain it, and fix it. However, faith means to rely on God, not on our own understanding. And faith means to acknowledge him in all of our ways. This is a challenge, to acknowledge God in everything we do. He promises to guide us and to lead us when we trust him like this. This is faith. When we truly trust God and rely on him, he gives us his peace that surpasses human understanding. God lifts the burdens from our hearts if we trust our burdens to him. Verse 2 and 3. In my Father's house are many homes. If it weren't so, I would have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and will receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be there also. As we try to understand these very familiar verses, let us remember that Jesus was responding to Peter's question in John 13:37. Peter asked, Lord, why can't I follow you now? Jesus began talking to them about what he was going to accomplish through the cross. He said that he would go away and prepare a place for them. However, Jesus did not say, I will come again and receive you into heaven. He said, I will come and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Lord, I pray that you would give us understanding and insight to understand this very important chapter. Meditation question. What is the Father's house? What was he talking about in verses 2 and 3? Jesus was comforting his distraught disciples with these words, but was he talking about heaven or something else? When Jesus said he was going away to prepare a place for them, I don't think he was talking about building buildings in heaven. He was preparing a place for them and us in his Father's house through the cross and resurrection. Jesus did come back to them after he arose from the grave. He died as the Lamb of God for the sins of the world once for all, so that we could become part of God's household and family. He made it possible for us to live in the Father's house. The cross and resurrection happened in time and space, but they are the foundation of our eternal destiny. Jesus made it possible for us to be a part of God's house, so that when he returns again, we can be with him and the Father forever. When I was a little kid going to church, I heard, I had the idea that heaven in heaven we would have our huge mansions made of gold. I think many people today have similar dreams of the Lord's heavenly resort somewhere in the sky. I imagined that Jesus was up there somewhere measuring windows, putting in doors, and building roofs. I know now that heaven will be much greater than that, greater than we can imagine. However, the main focus of Jesus in these verses was not on a place, but on a person. We can see this even in the Old Testament. David concluded Psalm 23 in verse 6 with the words, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." He was talking not about a physical building, but about the place where God dwells. He wanted to live continually in the presence of the Lord. The word oikos in Greek is the Greek word used for house. Thus, the Father's house refers to a place the Father lives with his family. The house, oikos, was not just a physical building, but includes the family living in it. Through the cross and resurrection of Jesus, we became members of God's family, God's household. We became part of his house. God does not live in temples built with human hands. However, it says in Ephesians 2:21 and 22 that we are now the temple of God, in which God lives by his Spirit. We are the temple in which God dwells. The focus of the Father's house is our relationship with him. Through Christ, we have become his children and members of his family. This is the essence of the Father's house. However, the future domain of the Father's house presumably includes the whole universe, which is beyond our imagination. The Bible says, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no heart has ever imagined what God has prepared for those who love him." Concepts of heaven as a glorified retirement resort are piddly compared to what God has planned for us. However, Jesus' focus in this passage, again, is not on a place, but on a person. The center of Jesus' teaching in these chapters is on knowing the Father and living in him. We live in the Father's house now because we are part of his family. We will live with him eternally in glorious surroundings, but the main thing will be knowing him. This is what it means to live in the Father's house. The New International Translation of John 14 says, "In my Father's house has many rooms." Some translations say, "In my Father's house are many homes." This is not talking about some kind of huge hotel or condominium in which every believer has their own room. It means there are many abiding places. This is the same word used in John 15, Greek word monai, when Jesus was talking about abiding in him. God's presence cannot be confined to one building or its rooms. There are many rooms or abiding places to accommodate the billions who will be saved and become part of the Father's family. Later in John 14, Jesus explained how these dwelling places come into existence. Just to be clear, let me say that Jesus will come again, and we will be with him forever. Jesus said in verse 3, "If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come and back and take you, that you may be with me, that you may also be there with me." The focus of John 14 is being with him here and now. Ultimately, we will be with him forever. Paul declared in 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17, "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God. The dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are alive and left will be caught up together in the clouds and meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with him, the Lord, forever." This is a wonderful thing to know, that we have a heavenly home. We can't imagine how great that will be. Unfortunately, I think that many people have developed a view of heaven to be like a luxurious country club in the sky, with no understanding of what it means to live in the Father's house here and now. Verse 4, "You know where I go, and you know the way." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. Meditation question. What did Jesus mean when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life? Jesus himself is the way. Jesus is the way to the Father because his death made access to the Father's presence possible through the cross. There are not multiple ways to God. Only Jesus can bring us to God. A church or a set of teachings cannot bring you to God. If you have Jesus, you are saved. If you do not have Jesus, you are not. Either you have Christ or you don't. Jesus is the truth. Truth is not a philosophy. Truth is a person. Jesus is God, but came into this world to reveal God to us. Truth is not confined or centered in human logic or wisdom. There is no truth apart from Christ. A person may be very smart, but they cannot understand truth without Jesus. Jesus is the life. In John 1, verse 4, it is written, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. In John 6, 35, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. We can only find true life, the life God designed us to have through Jesus. He is the life. He lives in us. We can only find true life, the life God designed us to have through Jesus. He is the life. When he lives in us, we can experience the life God created us for. And through Jesus, we have eternal life. Jesus is the only way to be reconciled to God. Our sins can only be forgiven through the sacrifice, his sacrifice on the cross. Jesus is the truth. Only through him can we know the love of God, the mercy of God, and the Father heart of God. And only through Jesus can we be made alive spiritually. Meditation question. Jesus is the way, but what is the destination? Where is Jesus leading us? Thomas confusedly asked, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? In response to Thomas's question, Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the way, but the Father is the destination. Jesus was not talking about a place, but about knowing the Father. Of course, Jesus is the only way to heaven, but Jesus made it clear that the focus is not on heaven. Knowing the Father is the goal, not living in a palace. Jesus said in verse 7, if you had known me, you would have known the Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. Jesus came to reveal the Father and to bring people into relationship with him. He came so that we can know the Father and live in fellowship with him. This is the essence of living in the Father's house. Jesus told them, you know the Father and have seen him because you know me and have seen me. Jesus is the ultimate revelation of the Father to us. He revealed the Father to us in his life, in what he said, and in everything he did. Jesus is the visible manifestation of the Father. If we know Jesus, we know the Father because they are one. We will see this central emphasis on knowing the Father throughout John chapters 14 to 17. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for coming into this world and revealing the Father to us. Thank you for saving us and for forgiving our sins through the cross. And thank you for making it possible to know him and to live in his house. In your name, amen.